Episode 480 coming at you hot. My name's Alex Pardo, and you know what you're listening to, The Flip Empire Show.
Welcome to The Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
All right, let's rock and roll. Here we go. So on today's masterclass, you are going to get a snippet of the most recent real estate investing heavyweights debate, self-storage versus mobile home parks. This was a debate that I hosted and moderated right before the holidays. We raised somewhere between $6,000 and $7,000 for the We Are Graces charity, which supports, as you're about to hear, impoverished children and families in Antigua, Guatemala. Fantastic charity that I support. And we had a lot of fun in this debate. These are two asset classes that are very hot, very sought after. They're great asset classes to build wealth and generate cash flow. And I've identified the cream of the crop in each asset class. Scott Myers and my good buddy Mike Wagner on the self-storage side, and Kevin Bupp and Ryan Norris, also friends of mine that represent the mobile home park side. So what you guys are about to hear is the introduction, which I encourage you to listen to because it's probably the most critical part of this whole thing and the reason why we did this debate. So the way this debate is broken into, broken down into, is five rounds plus a bonus round, okay? Round one, which you're about to hear here on episode 480, is acquisitions. So the way that we did this was each side had to debate for 5 minutes as to why their asset class was superior when it came to acquisitions or when it comes to acquisitions. And then they had 2.5 minutes for the rebuttal. And so it got really interesting. There was a lot of smack talk going on. You guys got to check this out. So this episode, because the entire debate was over 2 hours, this is just round one. This is the introduction in round one. And what I'm going to do is over the course of the next 3-4 episodes, I'm going to break this down. So if you're listening to this episode 480, episode 481, which comes out on Thursday, is going to be round two and round three. And I won't tell you what round two and round three is. So hopefully that teases you enough to make sure that you're subscribed to the Flip Empire Show so that you get notified when shows come out Mondays and Thursdays. And having said that, let us transition right into the second real estate investing heavyweights debate that I hosted and moderated with my good friends representing the self-storage side and my friends representing the mobile home park side. Grab your popcorn, prepare to get entertained, my friends. Here we go. All right, my friends, we are live. Scott, Mike, Ryan, Kevin, really appreciate you guys, man. Let's rock and roll here. Let's have some fun. We'll kind of wait a minute or two to give people a chance to kind of file in here, but really, really excited about moderating and hosting this debate. You know, when I did the last one, single family versus multifamily, I had in the back of my mind, if I do this again, I definitely want to do storage and mobile home parks, and I knew exactly who I wanted to have on here. So really appreciate you guys. I already see we got up to 9-10 people live, and I'm sure that number will grow. So my friends, I want to welcome you to the Flip Empire Show. Welcome you to this second debate we're doing, real estate investing heavyweights. I want to kind of just take a quick minute or two and share with you why, like, what's the reason I'm doing this debate and what's the reason these gentlemen have agreed to give their valuable time. First and foremost, it's to give back to a charity called Graces, which essentially is a nonprofit that helps impoverished families in Antigua, Guatemala. These are families that prior to the pandemic were living under $300 a month. That's what they were living, a family of four, family of five. Post-pandemic, they're living under $200 a month. They're obviously not getting any help from the government. Many of these families don't have education. They don't have kids at 10, 11, 12 years old. They're hitting the streets, selling trinkets and things of that nature just to help their families put food on the table. So the reason we're doing this is in an effort to raise some money for this charity and ultimately have this money go directly to the Graces Meals on Wheels, which provides food and helps with their education. So secondly, we want to educate you guys. We want to inspire. And I can guarantee you that you will be entertained. I got some incredible people, just go-givers, huge hearts. And if you guys would have been backstage, you would have heard some of the smack talking already kind of going on. So we're going to have a lot of fun, my friends. I'm actually going to throw up the URL. I want to kind of get this out of the way. So if you guys want to head over to reidebate.com, reidebate.com, this is the way it's going to work. Scott Myers, Mike Wagner, Kevin Bupp, Ryan Norris, each of them have agreed to give away a valuable resource. In Scott's case, it was a self-storage investing course. With Mike, it's a valuable PDF that I've been through that's packed with content. Ryan is giving away his due diligence checklist on mobile home parks. And then Kevin is giving away his valuable time, and you can hop on the phone and do a strategy session with him. This is 100% the honor system. Go to reidebate.com, opt in there. You're going to have an opportunity to make any donation. Guys, it could be a dollar. It could be $10, $1,000, whatever's in your heart to give. If you find it in your heart to give, just go ahead and make a donation, and then you can go ahead and access those resources. So just wanted to put that out there, a little bit of housekeeping. And then what I'd like to do is now share with you the format of this debate. And then I'm going to kick it over to these gentlemen to introduce themselves for 1 or 2 minutes. And we're going to get rocking and rolling with the debate. One thing I do want to mention, we want to make this interactive. We want to have some fun. If you have some questions, if you have comments, if you want to comment on who you think is going to win the debate. And I say win in air quotes because nobody's walking out of here a loser. We're all winners. Mike Wagner joked that, you know, the Vegas odds were that Graces and the people in Guatemala, those are the true winners here. Those are the people that if you guys find it in your heart to donate are going to ultimately end up on top. But if you guys want to ask any questions, we're actually going to open things up at the end of the debate, 15 to 30 minutes, and we're going to do live Q&A. Again, we have about 2 hours blocked off here, 90 minutes of debate, and then 15 to 30 minutes of Q&A. So I already see some comments and some questions coming in here. Justin Morgan, let the fun begin. Steve Kavanaugh, debate. Mobile home park win. Nah. So guys are already having some fun here. If you guys want to comment on who you think is going to win the debate or any questions, go ahead and fire away. Guys, here's the breakdown of the debate. We're going to go 5 rounds. We're going to cover round 1, acquisitions. Round 2, dispositions. Round 3, financing. Round 4, construction. And then round 5, management/operations. Each asset class is going to have 5 minutes to debate as to why their asset class is superior or superior to the other in each one of those categories. So we're going to go round by round. Each side will have 5 minutes, and then we'll kick it over and we'll do 2.5 minutes of rebuttal. Okay. Then we're going to do a bonus round, which I'll reveal at the end what the bonus round is going to be. So now that we have the format and all the housekeeping taken care of, I want to kick it over to Mr. Scott Myers. Scott, if you could just take a minute or two, man, introduce yourself. Who is Scott Myers? And we'll go from there.
Happy to. And once again, thanks, Alex. And welcome, everyone. We're going to have a lot of fun here. So got involved in real estate back in 1993, came up through the Ron LeGrand system, if you will, buying houses. We were on the mode of path of buying single family rental houses, rehabbing them, refinancing, renting them out, and then selling on a lease option until we got up to about 70 houses and realized that unlike Ron and the other gurus said, we didn't have a whole lot of time on our hands or a lot of free cash flow. So I thought, well, economies of scale will fix this, and got into apartments and started buying apartments around central Indiana. And we got up to 420 some apartment units as well. And same thing, just found out that we really didn't have the cash and the freedom like we wanted. So I thought, well, you know, for all the reasons we all love real estate, appreciation, depreciation, you can borrow money, leverage to buy it. And when you put a renter in, they pay down your basis and you get the tax benefits of that as well. There's no other investment out there like that. If it weren't for tenants and toilets and trash, it'd be the best business model, period. And so then I began looking around at other asset classes in real estate, and outside of self-storage or parking lots, that was really it. You know, everything else had tenants and toilets and trash. I began looking at mobile home parks, but you know, tenants and trash on wheels. And so I decided that self-storage was the way to go, and then began in, researching, learning about the industry, bought my first self-storage facility in a partnership and saw the light. And after that, sold all our houses, sold all our apartments. There's only one house I own now. It's the one that I live in. And everything else that we've done for the past 15 years has been nothing but 100% in self-storage. So we syndicate. We put deals together with private equity partners. We develop self-storage facilities all around the country. We buy existing facilities and turn them around, as well as conversions. So we buy big box warehouses or empty industrial buildings and convert them to self-storage. So really everything from A to Z, soup to nuts.
Awesome, Scott. Thank you, sir. And your partner on the storage side, none other than Mr. Mike Wagner, the storage rebel himself. So, Mike, just a minute or two, man, a little bit about who you are and your storage business.
Yeah, very quickly. First and foremost, I am a husband and father to those beautiful kids back there. Everything we do in the storage world is meant to support a lifestyle, our own vision of success. And it's done a very efficient job at creating that lifestyle for us. So long story short, I was a physical therapist by trade, knew I wanted to get into real estate for many of the reasons that Scott just mentioned above, and started, like many do, doing what's now called the Burr method, just buying small single family and multifamily houses. And after several years, I it was going okay. I was making money, but I realized I wasn't getting where I wanted to go fast enough. And that was out of a rat race into a life of true success and fulfillment. So I kind of pivoted, and ironically enough, I looked at both mobile home parks and storage. This was back in 2010, 2011. Looked at both of them as a better opportunity than what I had been trying, and ultimately decided on storage for a lot of reasons that we're going to talk about as this debate goes on. Since then, I do a very low volume, high margin investing strategy. I've only done 5 deals, not a million like some of these other guys. Neither's right nor wrong. But we do low volume, high margin deals because I saw that as the way to get to the life I was after as quickly and as efficiently as possible. Over the last two and a half years, started teaching other people how to do the same thing.
Awesome, Mike. Thank you, sir. Mr. Kevin Butt, man, what's going on, dude?
Alrighty. Now I'm doing awesome. Alex, thanks for again for putting this together and for all you do, my friend. And, you know, I tried to find some boxing gloves on Amazon, but due to this supply chain disruption, they're not available. Everyone bought all the fitness equipment. So I was going to come readily prepared. But anyway, no gloves today, but excited to be here with everyone. As far as like my background, I've been a full-time real estate investor. I guess you could say my entire adult life. I never really had a real job. I attended bar for a period of time going through college, and then ultimately was luckily introduced to real estate at 19. I bought my first property when I was 20. Really focused on single family properties for the first 5 to 6 years of my investing career. Acquired quite a significant portfolio of over 100 single family homes, and then also started buying apartments thereafter, just shy of 500 apartment doors. And my first phase into real estate didn't really treat me a lot well. It ran me up through 2008. 2008 was an incredibly challenging time. With my portfolio, found myself basically not fully bankrupt, but basically with negative cash in the bank account and lots of my properties going back to the bank. And then took a couple year hiatus and then jumped back in 2010, really looking to reinvent myself. And I went on a journey of finding out what the new world looked like, right? 2010 was very different than 2007. And during that period, I stumbled upon mobile home parks. I bought, a home study course online and literally started diving into it. And ultimately realized that it was very much an untapped industry. Now, this is back in 2010. Times are very different today, but it was very much an untapped industry. And it was one that seemed, to be incredibly lucrative if you purchase right. And so bought my very first mobile home park in 2011 up in Atlanta, Georgia. We still own that asset today. And bought another one shortly thereafter, a third one, a fourth one, a fifth one. Today we have 19 mobile home parks. We've owned, I think, 28 in total, all throughout the United States. And we absolutely love the business. It's by far, hands down, the best type of real estate I have ever owned. And in full transparency, I will say that I also do love self-storage. I have some investments in self-storage in a passive way, but even then, mobile home parks absolutely kick their butt. So with that being said,
Kevin, you might be teeing it up for these gentlemen, man. Be careful.
No, it's okay. I'm very diversified, but my core focus is mobile home parks. We do it day in and day out. We're in the trenches, and we also teach it through my podcast. I've got two podcasts behind me. You can see the Real Estate Investing for Cashflow podcast and also the Mobile Home Park Investing podcast. So we live, eat, sleep, breathe mobile home parks day in, day out.
Yep. Awesome. And each one of these gentlemen, before I kick it over to Ryan Norris, each one of these gentlemen have an awesome community. Scott has a podcast, Self-Storage Podcast. Mike Wagner has the Storage Rebellion. And so at the end of the show, we will go ahead and put everybody's link here where you can connect with them. Definitely encourage you follow each and every one of these gentlemen, particularly if you're interested in one asset class or the other, but all great guys. And I encourage you to plug into the materials and the education, the content that they put out. So Mr. Ryan Norris, and now I want to be fully transparent. Ryan and I don't even know each other that well. We have connected on a few phone calls. I reached over to Kevin and I said, Kevin, when it comes to mobile home park investing, give me two or three names. And Ryan was at the top of that name. So we hopped on a call and come to find out, we actually have a lot in common. He used to live in South Florida. He knows exactly where I'm at here in Miami. And we just vibed. We connected. Great dude. He's got an awesome community as well of mobile home park investors on Facebook. And so let me tee you up with that, Ryan.
Yeah, Alex, first and foremost, thank you. And Kevin, thank you for inviting me. And look, before we get started, I personally believe if you are going to debate or roast anyone, you have to first be comfortable debating or roasting yourself. So I'm going to start this party off by making fun of myself. Look, before we hit the record go live button, these gentlemen on here made fun of me for looking a little bit too comfortable, like I was going to take a nap before this. And I'll say, look, it's really quite simple. I can win this debate. Kevin and I can win this debate in our sleep. So I came dressed for the occasion. But quick, a little bit about me. First and foremost, I'm a big giver to charity. That is a big part of my why. So Alex, I am so happy to be here and hopefully help a wonderful cause. But just quickly about me, I'm a 33-year-old millennial who bought the lie. And what's the lie? The lie is study hard in high school, then you get into a good college, and then you work really hard at the good college, and you get a great job, and then you work really hard at this great job, and you get promoted, and you retire on a beach one day. Well, that may have been true for my parents and my grandparents, but at least for millennials like myself, that wound up in student loan debt and soul-crushing corporate America jobs that gave us literally no out. I mean, it was depressing. I felt stuck. I didn't want to get promoted. I couldn't leave because golden handcuffs and student loan debt. And I wanted out. And so I just refused to listen to folks who were telling me things that ultimately weren't really getting to me to my dream, my goal. And after years of introspection and trying to find a business to start, I finally found, like Jim Collins had said, the intersection of the pivotal three: what you are passionate about, what you can be the best in the world at, and what is also lucrative. And thankfully, within mobile home parks, after spending years of looking for businesses to start, I found that intersection between all three. Flash forward 5.5 years later, we started in July of 2015. And actually, Kevin Bupp was one of the pivotal first people to really help us get started. My business partner Ian and I have now been a part of 17 mobile home park transactions as of this afternoon. Actually, after this, I'm going to go and notarize, sign, and submit my closing documents for our 17th acquisition. We did sell out of three. So we actually have 14 that we own, 13 of which are under our management, and one we own passively. And all of this starting with nothing, no money, no experience, and no network. In fact, arguably negative, because I got saddled with student loan debt. So anybody listening in here, I really hope that you enjoy this, you learn from this. But if you get nothing else from me personally out of this, get this: you do not have to be doomed to the lie that they told us going through high school. You don't have to be. Don't settle for excuses. You can fight through them. And I hope that my words can inspire you to not only do good and give back to charity, but to, like the other gentlemen on this board today, you too can chase your dreams and achieve your goals within real estate, whatever asset class you pick.
Yeah, well said, Ryan. Thank you for sharing that, brother. I think everybody echoes those sentiments. So, guys, now that we have that out of the way, let's dive into the juicy part. Let's dive into the debate. Let's have some fun. Now, for those of you watching at home or on your phone, wherever you are, you're going to notice me throwing up these cue cards. Like I said, each round, each asset class is going to have 5 minutes. You'll see me throw this up at the halfway mark. Admittedly, it's a little bit of a challenge to like sometimes keep a track of time, stay focused, all that kind of stuff. So bear with me. And then I have a 2.5 minute, a 1 minute, a 30 second. And then if you see me throw this up, I want you to give these guys some crap and throw some comments up there. Okay. So it's going to be their cue to wrap things up if they're talking. So, after that, each side will have a 2.5 rebuttal, and then we'll go round by round, and then we'll do a Q&A at the end. So again, one last plug, REIdebate.com. Go ahead and opt in there. And, there's going to be a video there. Don't watch that video now. Watch it after the debate. But then that way I want you guys to have that site bookmarked so that whenever you have an opportunity, I want to encourage it to be today, ASAP, make a donation if you find it in your heart. So without further ado, guys, let's hop into the second real estate investing heavyweights debate. We're going to actually start with the storage side on this. So whoever wants to kick this one off, whether it's Scott or Mike, here's the question. When it comes to acquisitions, why is storage the superior asset class?
Yeah, Alex, I'm going to start off with this one before I turn it over to Scott. And, you know, I know you well enough, Alex, to know that you've got a broad range of listeners. And I want to try very quickly, if I can, to speak to all of them, starting with the folks who maybe are early on in their journey, the ones that Ryan was maybe just speaking toward. For them, what I think I like about both of these assets is the low barrier to entry, right? To Ryan's point, you can get into either asset class for $100,000 or $200,000 property. How much you have to put into that, maybe nothing, maybe a small down payment, doesn't much matter. I think both asset classes offer that. But where storage takes a distinct advantage is that we hit, in the storage industry, economies of scale for profitability far sooner than mobile home park operators do. We've got things that are so in our favor when you compare the two industries that we can make good money on very small properties without having to pick up the broom or the plunger or do the credit checks ourselves. We've got automation, remote management. Our income to expense ratio is lower, so there's a higher margin for error, and we'll touch more on that later. But like I said, we don't have to show units or do credit checks. We don't have to deal with owning property like park-owned homes that so many mobile home park operators will tell you are the bane of their existence. So for the newer investor, this is storage is a clear front runner when it comes to getting started, just because you can get to those economies of scale sooner. Now, if we flip the coin a little bit and talk more towards some folks that maybe have more experience, maybe they're playing at a little quote unquote higher level, I think it's really important to look at the state of the industry as a whole. How has it been trending for the last 10 years? And based on that, where do we see it going in the future? And again, similarity between both asset classes is this idea of consolidation, meaning the biggest players in the industry, the REITs, the big guys, the Kevin Bupps and the Scott Myers of the world, they are taking more of the market share as time goes by. And I think we can all agree that's kind of both a blessing and a curse. As the consolidation happens, cap rates can compress and the value of our properties can go up, which is clearly a good thing. And again, it's true in both industries or both asset class. But I think the more important consideration is if we look at the curse embedded in this consolidation and if you think about it, as the big guys are expanding into the market, it becomes harder for smaller operators and investors. And when I say smaller, I mean anyone other than the big REITs, it becomes harder for them to get in the game. Now, here's the key difference, right? If you look as the consolidation occurs, storage is still a flourishing industry. There's still construction that we'll talk about later. There's new development. Simply put, mobile home parks aren't being built anymore because the municipalities don't want them, right? So I hate to say this, but if you're getting into mobile home parks today, you're signing up for buying into an industry that is essentially dying a long, slow death and no change in sight on the horizon. You're also signing up for a life of fighting City Hall. So if that's what you're looking for, then maybe mobile home parks is a thing, but I'm going to personally choose to stay in the realm of storage for those reasons. And now, Scott, I don't know if you had anything you wanted to add on that.
Yeah, well, there we go. Game on, right? I'll just speak from experience in a little bit of time that we have left here, Alex. And that's for anybody looking to get in, I'll talk about the beginning side and then a little more advanced. And when I was looking to get into the business, like I said, I was at a crossroads where I was looking at other asset classes. And at the end of the day, the only thing that we don't have more of is time. And the time that is involved in just handling anything that does have tenants in it, regardless of the asset class, we spent so much time tracking down and chasing the tenants and then working with property managers and property management companies and then contractors for all the rehabs. These are, not to oversimplify it, but these absolutely beautiful buildings that you see there, self-storage buildings, they're metal boxes on concrete slabs with stuff in it. We just don't have all the moving parts. And when I sold my last single-family house, rental house, and got rid of all of our tenants and toilets and trash, my wife, who's a business partner of mine as well, she said, "Hey, do you notice anything different?" This is the next thing I said, "What?" She goes, "It's quiet." It's quiet. And, so we achieve the E-Myth. If anybody's familiar with Michael Gerber and the E-Myth, systems run the business. We manage and tweak the system. The system was running us when we're in the tenant toilet business. But then when we have to focus on, when we can get to the place where we're focusing only on growing the business and doing the two things that are strong suits, and that is, finding private equity, raising more private equity, and then matching it up with deals. Well, we got a whole lot more time to be able to go out and create those relationships, our private equity partners and lenders, and then we can crank up our marketing machine or do more joint ventures and look at deals. But when we're so mired down with all of the issues of handling tenants and toilets and trash, that is what takes more of our time. And property management companies you can't wave a magic wand. They don't pay the bills and make all those bad those decisions when all the bad things happen. So that's the reason why I decided to go this path versus the others.
Thank you, gentlemen. All right. So Ryan, Kevin, your turn. 5 minutes. Why is mobile home park the superior asset class when it comes to acquisition specifically? Whoever wants to kick it off.
Ryan, let me take the first stab at it, if you don't mind, buddy.
Sure.
So I'm going to speak to Mike's point about mobile home parks dying a slow death. It is true that there are lots of regulatory municipal restrictions around building new mobile home parks. The not in my backyard syndrome. They've got a bad rap. Stereotypical rap about mobile home parks is that they're just they're junk. They're trailer parks. They've got drug, sex, and rock and roll, and that's just not the case. I think Ryan will agree with me there. As far as, how we look at that, I look at that barrier as a barrier to entry. It's a huge positive. What we don't have to worry about in mobile home parks is a competitor building 2, 3, 4 parks down the road and creating an oversaturation. Self-storage, on the other hand, they're popping up everywhere. I've got to be concerned about if I buy this self-storage facility today in Tampa, Florida, that the other big dogs aren't going to come in over the next couple of years and build additional facilities and then crush my little dreams of making a lot of money in self-storage. So again, I look at the flip side of that, of new parks not being built as a massive benefit for us. We buy the right park in the right market. I don't have to worry about that competition. I've got built-in insulation from anyone coming and taking my dreams away from me. One of the other big things about mobile home parks where I think they just absolutely trump self-storage is, I think everyone that's listening, everyone's watching can agree, everyone needs a roof over their head. Everyone needs a roof over their head. Not everyone needs a place to store their junk, right? And when times get tough and there's a decision to be made about, making your budget for your family which bill am I going to pay and which bill am I not going to pay, time and time again, an individual will choose to pay for that roof over their head versus storing that junk that they had, paying the $100, $150 a month for storing that junk that they have. So I think mobile home parks, ultimately, they do really well in good times and they do even better and bad times, because everyone always needs a roof over their head. And so, Ryan, go ahead. There's a couple more I'd like to go through, but I don't want to steal all your thunder as well, buddy.
So I love data. I have two wonderfully useless degrees in statistics right now. So let's pair Kevin's warm and fuzzy with some real data. So I would like to first and foremost say that over 95% of the tasks done at my stabilized properties are completely automated. The average mobile home resident within a mobile home park does not turn for 14 years, which is actually longer, according to the National Association of Realtors, for a stick-built home, which is about 13 years. So you have stickier tenants. Crime also is actually lower and is actually on par with a middle-class family. And again, if you don't own any of those homes, it's not a whole lot that you have to do. When you look at, for example, Williams Equity Research put out a study that basically found that the fluctuations of self-storage in terms of vacancy is higher than any other commercial real estate asset class by an order of 120 to 300 basis points year over year. Those are huge fluctuations for any data scientist like I was formerly, or anyone who's looking for good, stable income. So the truth of the matter is, when you're looking at where do I want a safe dollar at a really strong return, it's mobile home parks. When you look at, for example, some of the publicly traded REITs, for example, Sun Communities hasn't had a real significant decrease in NOI growth since the late 90s. The profitability is there. The automation is there. If you stabilize your properties, which some go for heavier value add stuff like me, because I'm getting into the space, the data just jumps off the page. And while I have only a couple minutes or a couple seconds here left, I want to say that beyond the data, it is a rare thing nowadays where you have the intersection between doing the right thing, it also happens to be legal, and it also happens to be profitable. And the amazing thing about owning and operating mobile home parks, no matter if you want to go all tenant-owned home or you do deeper value-add stuff like I do, is you get to clean up communities. And if you look at macroeconomic data, especially when you look at education, so we have a partial college scholarship for our residents. When you look at the data, it pops off the page. Clean, crime-free, or relatively speaking, crime-free areas are better environments for kids to get their education and provide them an opportunity to lift themselves from poverty. Kevin and I get to do this every day. We're not providing a better environment for your old golf bags. No, we are pound for pound making communities, not within our communities, but within the greater cities, municipalities, counties, and states, better places to live. There is a disparity between the rich and the poor that is only getting greater, and the demand is insane. The supply is limited. Kevin and I are on the front lines of that. That is our why, and it is backed with data. So we have that intersection of the right thing to do, profitability, and everything. Hopefully perfect, right on time there.
Perfect timing, Ryan. So guys, just so you know, Scott did not lose. Scott is having to reboot. He's having a few tech issues. You might see me glancing at my phone. It's because I'm checking the time, but he was actually texting me that he should be on any minute now. So Mr. Wagner, you did not lose your partner in crime, brother. But let's keep the show rolling. So here's where we have 2.5 minutes, and you might have the benefit of having the 2.5 minutes to yourself as Scott, you know, attempts to hop back on here, but 2.5 minutes for the rebuttal. It could be any one point or multiple points that either Kevin and or Ryan, just talked about.
Yeah. And I would just want to make a couple points. I think that the first going to what Kevin had said, I couldn't help thinking that what he was describing was mobile home parks are a great place to be. And because of the consolidation, if you're already in, then it's a great place to be. But I feel like we're talking to an audience who wants to know, where should I invest my money today? And for me, that's in an industry that is still going to exist and have expanded into the future. To your point, Kevin, about new supply coming on into markets for storage, completely viable point, but huge opportunities in areas where development simply doesn't make sense. So we can purchase value add properties, expand to meet demands in markets that are overlooked by anybody who's going to want to do a ground up development. Piggybacking on that, the whole economy thing, storage, you know this because you own storage myself. I'm pretty sure neither Scott or I own mobile home parks. So I'm just going to throw that out there. But secondly, you know this, owning some storage, that we also do really well in either up or down markets. You had quoted this idea that when the economy's down, people don't need storage. But I can tell you, having experienced it, when the economy's up, Americans buy crap. We know that. They need a place to put it. So that drives our storage demand. When the economy's down, there are transitions through downsizing. Maybe people are moving from a house to a mobile home park. Well, there's no place to put anything in a mobile home park. So they're my customer too, every time, right? The other side to that is, I want to switch gears just a little bit and kind of to your points, Ryan, some very valid points, some of them that I'm definitely going to rebut a little later in the later sections, but that's because you weren't talking about acquisitions, my man. You were talking about all sorts of operational stuff, basically avoiding the topic at hand because you know from an acquisition standpoint, storage is the better asset class. Neither of you addressed how acquisitions are a benefit to the mobile home investor who wants to start today.
Mr. Myers, you got about 23 seconds, man. Good to have you back. You know, I know you had some tech issues, so I'm going to tack on an extra 10 seconds if it's okay with these guys.
All right, we're talking about dispositions, right? And why self-storage is better in terms of
this is the rebuttal to their acquisitions, which obviously you didn't get a chance to hear. But yeah. But it's okay. We'll keep it moving. Let's kick it over to Kevin and Ryan for the rebuttal on anything Mike or Scott had to share with us.
Kev, let me start this. Let me hit him with some data. So first and foremost, we didn't directly address that because we wanted to demoralize you guys a little bit. But let's hit you with some more data here, right? So first off, Bloomberg just came out with a big article, and also Seeking Alpha did, that basically said that self-storage is actually 10 years ahead of mobile home parks in terms of consolidation. Let's put some numbers to that. 25% of self-storage is owned by institutional buyers. 18% of that is publicly traded, according to Mick and Law PC attorneys and counselors. Let's juxtapose that with the consolidation within the mobile home park space, which is that only 2.5% of the supply is owned by publicly traded REITs. And not to mention, again, the NOI growth is better by a factor of 1.5 to 3% of NOI growth this year alone in the middle of a pandemic. And also when you look at general collections trends during literally the worst pandemic since the Spanish flu, there was only one asset class that collected better than mobile home parks. And those were warehouses. And wouldn't you know, because we're all ordering stuff on Amazon because we can't leave our houses. Otherwise, people have been paying. They have been paying extraordinarily well. And you guys are just 10 years ahead of us in terms of consolidation. So acquisitions are pound for pound superior in mobile home parks. Kev?
Yeah, no, all great points there. And there's a few other tidbits that I thought we should hit on real quick while I have a couple seconds left. You know, one of the big ones being the tax benefits with mobile home parks. I mean, we missed on that part. And that is key on the acquisition side as far as what the depreciation schedule was. Self-storage, 39 years. Mobile home parks, the majority of the infrastructure, it's over a 15-year accelerated depreciation schedule. That, for those that know the power of depreciation, it's like a night and day difference. Mobile home parks just, you know, completely pound self-storage when it comes to tax benefits and tax efficiency. And Mike, back to your point about, self-storage during a good time, during a downturn, what have you, when they have to make a tough decision of, again, what bill they pay, we can all agree that they're going to choose to pay for the roof over their head versus their storage unit that has whatever junk might be stored in there. And so, again, I feel when times get tough, folks are going to pay their rent versus paying their self-storage. And with that, I think we're out of time. So,
yep. I appreciate that, guys. You guys are warming up here.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.